Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Lamo. We're reading through the Bible. This is the book of Acts, chapter 10, with 48 verses, translation and commentary, and also a part two of the spiritual warfare. We also have a couple of letters here, and Sister Michelle, before we read, let's go to the throne and ask the Lord to bless this service. Lord God, we thank you for your holy name, because for as many as two are gathered in your name, there you are as well. Lord, we thank you for saving our souls and filling us with the Holy Spirit, those of us that are filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The outward anointing. We ask, Lord, that you pour out your outward anointing on me today and on everything that's done on this tape, so that the inward anointing, the spirit of life within everyone that is filled with the spirit of life, can even be more filled with it to the fullness of the stature of Christ. And those in the out in radio land that are not yet saved, we pray, Lord, that you'll open their eyes to the truth, to the word, that the word, your word, is spirit, and the word is your eternal life, if they receive it into their hearts, into their spirits, into their souls, and into their minds. Lord, we ask that millions and even billions will be saved in Jesus' name. We pray that everyone will be able to see the light. This world is so full of darkness, Lord, and your word is the only light we have. There's no other religion, no other word in this entire world. Mohammedism, Buddhism, all these other isms are nothing. You are the light of the world. No one else. Lord, we ask that you show that to everyone that hears in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, that was the prayer, and I know the Lord is answering it. And right now we have two letters. Where is the first one from, Michelle?
From Nashville, Tennessee.
All right, go ahead.
Pastor Tony DeLamo, many thanks again. I have just received a box of literature and 12 copies of encouragement, which I requested. Thank you so very much. I am always looking forward to your newsletter every month, no matter how much other reading publications that you have sent. Also, encouragement was one powerful message. May I ask if you have the time to send 12 more copies of this volume, and 12 more, if you have them, of How to Have God's Life Living in You? This would be greatly appreciated. Pastor Tony, you have made it very clear that God never created man so that man could live according to his own will, do his own work, have his own ministry, or live independently from God. I always thought all pastors, priests, and ministers were called by God to preach. Before I ever heard of the Alamo Christian Ministries, I just lived by my will because I never knew anything else. I was never taught about God. Now the Bible has become clearer to me by reading your newsletters, which I am very thankful for. And I enjoy reading all of your testimonies from all over this world. And in God, all the help you are giving to these unsaved people by distributing Bibles, newsletters, etc. And I want to thank your staff, the many Christians who send out newsletters and other printed publications, and all other teaching tools to all the unsaved who want salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Signed, M.M. from Nashville, Tennessee.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, where's the next letter from?
From Ghana, Africa.
Okay, go ahead.
Dear Pastor Alamo, I am with much pleasure to write you back once again. And before I say any word, I would like to know your present condition of health.
I'm doing very well, thank you. Praise the Lord.
I hope by the grace of the Almighty God, everything is moving on well with you, your family, and all the wonderful people with and around you. May the good Lord help you to carry on the good work you are doing to every nook of the world. I received the Bible and the literature you sent me, and I must say that I was very helped. And could you believe that 3 days before I received the literature, I had a dream that I received some literature from a pastor. On my way home, I met a madman who was very dirty and could not speak, neither could he hear. And something told me to give him one of the literature, which I did. And to my surprise, this madman became normal as soon as he opened it. Pastor, I believe this was a true dream, because I realized it, and I know God has chosen me to represent the Lord through you in my community to save the lost souls. This is because when I had the literature from you, on my way back to school, I met a mad woman who I decided to give her one. And could you believe that this mad woman went and sat by a nearby tree and started looking through it? And before I could realize, this mad woman was laughing and very happy. I believe this was the mad woman I saw in my dream as a madman. The rest of the literatures got finished as soon as I got to campus, which I was very happy. This is the day I will never forget in my entire life. And now I know that it is only through Jesus Christ that we can find true happiness, for he is the Savior of the whole wide world. Pastor, I will be very happy if you can send me as many literatures and Bibles as you can to enable me to win more souls, for the devil is a loser. I know he has chosen me to represent you in my community. Without much ado, I would like to end here, and I'm hoping to hear from you soon, since I am seriously waiting to continue from where I stopped. And may God be with you and your entire family and everyone out there. Signed, IAS from Ghana, Africa.
That was a supernatural testimony. All right, Sister Sharon, chapter 10, the book of Acts.
Cornelius sends for Peter. King James Version, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Verse 2. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Verse 3. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. Translation, verse 1 through 3.
And we'll go through the entire translation, omitting the King James, because most people are reading the King James anyway, and we just read the translation because of the time element on this tape. All right, continue on in the translation.
Cornelius sends for Peter, verse 1. In Caesarea there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. Verse 2. He was a devout man who feared the God of Israel, as did his entire household. He gave generously to charity, which is to the church, and was a man who regularly prayed to God. Verse 3. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming towards him, quote, Cornelius, unquote, the angel said. Verse 4, Cornelius stared at him in terror. Quote, what is it, sir, unquote, he asked the angel. And the angel replied, quote, your prayers and gifts to the poor have not gone unnoticed by God, exclamation mark. Verse 5, now send some men down to Joppa to find a man named Simon Peter. Verse 6, he is staying with Simon, a leather worker, who lives near the shore. Ask him to come and visit you, unquote. Verse 7, as soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants.
Now, most people would, most ministers would say, all right, God noticed the alms, in other words, the tithes and offerings that Cornelius made. They'd use that as an occasion to stay on television. We would be on television if people gave as they're supposed to the Lord, if they give tithes and offerings. But we're not going to get on television and start saying, give us money to be on television. Because if you don't, we're going to get shut off the air. You're not going to put me in a position like that at all. I'd rather stay off television. We were on for 10 years. And we showed that we were winning more souls than anybody else in the entire world, real souls. We weren't turning them into Catholics or Baptists, but we are winning them into followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this statement may be very offensive to a lot of people, but nevertheless, it's a true statement. And so the only way I'd ever go on, we're on the Internet now, and we're going to be doing television broadcasts. But we're just going to put them on the website, and you can look at them there. If you want to donate a few million dollars or something like that, great, we'll go on television as well. But until that time, you're not going to get me begging and begging. People should know the book of Malachi that tells you that you're robbing God if you're not giving tithes and offerings. I don't dwell on that subject at all. As a matter of fact, we've never even asked the people out in radio or television land for finances whatsoever, because we don't believe it's right to ask the unsaved people to foot the bill for TV programs and so on. This should be done by the church. The church is supposed to support soul winning, to support people that edify the church. This edification that I'm doing is spiritual warfare, because I'm building, Jesus the Lord is building your souls up, your spiritual armor, through these broadcasts. And these broadcasts cost us money. And we're not, we didn't ask anybody for money, because we can probably afford the one the station that we're on. And we can afford doing tapes and putting them on the website. We could go all over the world if we had the finances. So, you know, let your conscience be your guide. You say, well, we don't like the message that you bring because of the fact that it makes us uncomfortable. We'd rather hear smooth things. Well, I'm not, I do say smooth things, but I also tell of the full personality of God. And if your spirit doesn't like that, well, then it isn't me that you don't like, it's the Word of God that you don't like. And the Word of God is God, and it's that you don't like God, and therefore, let me tell you something, the worst case scenario is that He doesn't like you either. The feelings are mutual. And so if you, and it's obvious, a lot of people have been deceived. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the whole world is deceived right now. And you're too lazy to pick up the Bible to see if what I'm preaching is the truth and what your false prophets are saying are lies. But I can guarantee you, if you don't believe what I'm telling you and you believe somebody else, then you are believing a pack of lies, because what I'm telling you is exactly what the Bible tells you and I and everyone else to do. And, of course, this is a very unpopular message. People want to hear the smooth things. But God is a God of love, but He's also a God of wrath. He's also a God of hate. And you just don't want to get on His bad side, because if you do, you can't fight God and win. You can put your dukes up and say, come on, God, let's get it on. Let's go to Front Street. But you won't win. And you better obey the Lord. You're robbing God is what it is. Now, if you know that I'm preaching the truth, and you know that we're being hindered because of a lack of you're robbing God, and you're robbing Him from what? You're robbing Him from the, you know, it costs money to be on TV, on radio and television, and it costs money to put out literature as we do, and Bibles and everything. Well, we can put out as much as we can, and that's it. But there are people that are screaming for and begging for a lot more literature, and they could win souls. Everyone that reads this literature, some of them say, most of them say, get saved. And so if you want to hinder that, I'm not talking about family affairs and all this sort of stuff that you hear a lot of these people talking about. Here the world is coming to an end, and you've got people that are supposed to be preaching the gospel that are talking about vitamins and minerals and vitamin B and all this sort of stuff. When I know more about vitamins and minerals, because I've been in the health studio business for around 50 years now, off and on, and was the executive vice president of the American Health Studios, and we even sponsored the Mr. America and Mr. Universe contest. And these Johnny-come-latelys that are talking about vitamins and minerals, taking vitamin B, 12 and so on television, why are they not preaching the gospel? Now, if a person, let me give you some advice to you people out there that don't know how to come in and go out. If you want to sell vitamins and minerals, and that's what you're doing, you're selling these guys' books on your television about how to get healthy and so on and so forth, and you're selling their vitamins and so on, and maybe probably splitting with them, why don't you just buy an infomercial and have somebody else do that, and the money, the tithes that people are sending in to hear the gospel, why don't you just preach the gospel? And why just preach the love of God? Why don't you preach the whole character of God, the love, how He hates, how the Bible says God Himself and the Apostle Paul, and Jesus says that He's a terrorist. All right, why don't you preach the whole personality of God? Because it's as though you don't like the personality of God, and you don't want anybody else to know, really know God. But, you know, I'm into telling people the truth. And if those of you that are out there are really of the Lord, then give and give and give until it hurts. because you know that I'm shipping up tracts and Bibles, pieces of literature, books, and I'll go on as many radio broadcasts as I have the finances to. But I'm not going to put myself up blind alley unless I see I've got a lot of supporters. And you're not going to hear me selling vitamins and minerals on my program. If I wanted to do that, I know how to do that better than these jokers do. If they're joking around with the Lord. The Lord never called us to preach vitamins and minerals. He called us to preach the gospel, to say that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so all you people that are doing that, I don't care who you are, you're wrong, because your people are sending money in you to preach the gospel, and here you are letting some vitamin peddler get on with your program and start selling vitamins. Most people know about them anyway. But anyway, let's get on with chapter 10 of Acts.
Verse 8. He told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa. Peter visits Cornelius. Verse 9. The next day, as Cornelius's messengers were nearing the city, Peter went up to the flat roof to pray. Verse 10. It was about noon and he was hungry, but while lunch was being prepared, he fell into a trance. Verse 11. He saw the sky open and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. Verse 12. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. Verse 13. And then a voice said to him, quote, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them," unquote.
Now, a lot of Gentile preachers, people that really are not fully mature in the word, they think that this is meaning that we can eat all the animals that the Lord says are not good to eat. But what God is showing Peter is that God symbolizes different nations with different birds and different animals. And all that is just saying, now the gospel is for the Gentiles, for every nation. That's what it is. Has nothing to do with food whatsoever. Now, the Old Testament tells us what food is and what food isn't. Pork is not food. Now, oh, you're going to turn the radio off here if I say that, but it's not going to send your soul to hell, but it's not going to make you healthy either, because it's not food, it's a scavenger. You're not supposed to eat dog, monkey, any shellfish whatsoever. Oh my God, I'm really making myself unpopular now, right? But I'm just telling you what God says. You can do whatever you want. The Lord says, if you want to eat things that are really not food, for all I care, have a vulture sandwich with mayo and lettuce and tomatoes on it, whatever. But it's not food, it's scavenger. All right, so go ahead.
Verse 14, quote, "Never, Lord," Peter declared, "I have never in all my life eaten anything forbidden by our Jewish laws." Unquote.
See, even Peter thought he was talking about food. Okay, then what?
Verse 15, the voice spoke again, quote, "If God says something is acceptable, don't say it isn't," unquote.
Then what?
Verse 16, the same vision was repeated three times. Then the sheet was pulled up again to heaven. Verse 17, Peter was very perplexed.
This happened three times, so this is shown, this is really of the Lord. If you see a vision three times in a row, you know that's from God. Satan can't do that. And so this was definitely of the Lord. God really wanted to impress that all the nations symbolized by different animals, like for instance China, I believe, is symbolized by a dragon. The United States is symbolized by an eagle. Russia is symbolized by a bear. That doesn't mean that you can eat eagles. Okay, that's like a vulture. Doesn't mean that you can eat bear meat, because that's part of the hog family. And it doesn't mean that you can have dragon meat or lizards or anything like those. Those are abominations. And they're not good for you. I don't believe it'll send your soul to hell unless God deems that a situation that you're destroying your body. He says anyone that destroys your body, which is the temple of God, God will destroy. A lot of people, God says that you're not supposed to eat fat. You're supposed to eat lean meat. Well, because people like prime meat, their arteries get all clogged up and their heart gets all clogged up. and they have heart attacks and die. So God destroys them because it's actually they're destroying themselves because they're disobeying God. Now, so, you know, they get high cholesterol counts and so on. But as I said, I'm not selling anything here as health food. I'm just trying to give you a little advice. Then what else?
Quote, what could the vision mean, unquote? Just then, the men sent by Cornelius found the house and stood outside the gate.
See, so here it is. Cornelius is one of those unclean beasts that is on the sheet. He's a Gentile. And so the Apostle Peter's saying, boy, this is all happening at once here. Then what?
Verse 18. They asked if this was the place where Simon Peter was staying. Verse 19. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, quote, three men have come looking for you. Verse 20. Go down and go with them without hesitation. All is well, for I have sent them. Unquote. Verse 21. So Peter went down and said, quote, I am the man you are looking for. Why have you come? Unquote. Verse 22. They said, quote, we were sent by Cornelius, a Roman officer. He is a devout man who fears the God of Israel and is well respected by all the Jews. A holy angel instructed him to send for you so you can go to his house and give him a message. Unquote. Verse 23. So Peter invited the men to be his guests for the night. The next day he went with them, accompanied by some other believers from Joppa. Verse 24. They arrived in Caesarea the following day. Cornelius was waiting for him and had called together his relatives and close friends to meet Peter. Verse 25. As Peter entered his home, Cornelius dropped to the floor before him in worship. Verse 26. But Peter pulled him up and said, quote, stand up! Exclamation mark. I'm a human being like you! Exclamation mark. Unquote. Verse 27. So Cornelius got up and they talked together and went inside where the others were assembled. Verse 28. Peter told them, quote, you know it is against the Jewish laws for me to come into a Gentile home like this, but God has shown me that I should never think of anyone as impure to witness to.
See? For anyone that is impure to witness to. Amen? It doesn't say that you can eat any kind of food, pig meat, and it's just talking about humans, that you can... you're not to call any person, any Gentile person, unclean if they accept the Lord Jesus Christ. So that this is just opening up the gospel to the Gentiles. It's what it is. Has nothing at all to do about food. Okay, then what?
Verse 29. So I came as soon as I was sent for. Now tell me why you sent for me. Unquote. Verse 30. Cornelius replied, quote, 4 days ago I was praying in my house at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Suddenly a man in dazzling clothes was standing in front of me. Verse 31, quote, he told me, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard and your gifts to the poor have been noticed by God! Exclamation mark. Verse 32, now send some men to Joppa and summon Simon Peter. He is staying in the home of Simon, a leather worker, who lives near the shore. Verse 33. So I sent for you at once, and it was good of you to come. Now here we are waiting before God to hear the message the Lord has given you. Unquote. The opening of the good news to the Gentiles, where they can now be saved.
See, this is the opening of the good news to the Gentiles. All the different symbolic animals that symbolize all the different Gentile nations. Okay? Including America, which is a Gentile nation. We Jews are the ones that wrote the Bible, and we Jews are the ones that the Messiah came into this world through. He didn't come through Gentiles or false prophets or people that preached the Bible wrongly. He came through the Jews. And people that hate the Jews, let me say something to you. One of these days, you're going to have to bow down before the world's greatest Jew in order to get saved. And so you better not hate Jews, because God is the God of the Jews. And even in eternity, he calls the kingdom of heaven the new Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Not America or Ireland or Norway, but Jerusalem. It's a Jewish world It was created by the God of the Jews. God himself is the world's greatest Jew. And you're going to have to receive this Jew in order to be saved. You have to become a spiritual Jew before you can get into the kingdom of heaven, because the kingdom of heaven is the Jewish community, the spiritual community. Well, the Bible says there's no Jew or Gentile. That's right, but you're still a member. You have to bow down before that Jew to become a spiritual Israelite. All right? So that's what he says, there's no Jew or Gentile. That means there is no ungodly Jew or ungodly Gentile. It's we all have to become a spiritual Jew. All right? Yeah, we don't judge things by the flesh anymore. We have to become a spiritual Jew. Both Jews that are not saved have to become spiritual Jews, and Gentiles that are Gentiles in the flesh must become spiritual Israelites too. There's only one body, one God, one Savior, one kingdom, one Spirit, one holy eternal God, one power. And that's it. Okay, so don't be anti-Semitic, because that is destructive, extremely destructive to your own soul. Win the Jews. Not every Jew is going to be saved, and for sure not every Gentile is going to be saved either. Only those that become spiritual Israelites will be saved. And Paul said, not all Israel is Israel. Those that claim to be Israelites, that doesn't do you one peck of good unless you accept Jesus as your Messiah, as your Savior. And if you accept any other God, such as Buddha or Muhammad, there's no life in any of them. There's no eternal life, and none of them can get you to the kingdom of heaven and keep you out of hell. So why have them? Why have anything to do with them? There's only one name given among men whereby you must be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. For there is salvation in only Christ. No one else. Okay, then what?
Verse 34. Then Peter replied, quote, I see very clearly that God doesn't show partiality any longer.
Yeah, so he accepts the Gentiles too. He's not saying he accepts you to eat all kinds of food. Some people like to eat butter. That's pure fat from off of a cow. Then you wonder why they're dying, why people are catching cancer, because they're eating abominations. God said that. The Bible says that people... is the creation of man maintains themselves with the herbs of the field. Now, I'm not strictly an herbalist. I eat chicken and without the skin on it, and turkey, and I eat fish, but everything in moderation. And you can eat lamb. And before we could have eaten beef, but the Lord told me not to eat any more beef. There must be something radically wrong with it, with all the hormones and things like that. I was just saying this for your own good. I'm not charging you for this advice. I'm just telling you what the Lord told me. It must be important, he says, to work out, to exercise. So he said, if you stay away from all dairy and stay away from beef, you'll live another 20 years. And if you work out, if you exercise every day, you will also gain another 20 years. That means I've got another 40 years to go. Now, if you want to add years to your life, and you got little children, and you love them, and you don't want them to go to die young, there's so many children now that are dying of leukemia and cancer and everything else. And according to statistics, they say it's because of the things they're eating: hamburgers, French fries, and greasy foods, and candies, and soda pops, and all these different things. So it's actually coming about to where people have to do what the Lord says anyway, or else they die young. They're obese, and they're catching diabetes and everything else. Young kids. All right, then what?
Verse 35, quote, in every nation he accepts those who fear him and do what is right.
So it's not just to the Jews anymore. It says first to the Jew and then to the Greek or the Gentiles. But now it says he accepts them from every nation. Has nothing to do with food. Boy, I was taught that from every Christian person I ever met before I became mature in the Lord. And then I began studying the Bible for myself instead of just listening to people. The Lord came and warned me in a dream, right in front of my face. Actually, it was a vision. He says, read the Bible. You're not listening to me enough. And so I started reading it, and I realized that almost everything I was being taught, much of it was false. And so, you know, people say, oh, we can eat pork. And so, yes, you can. But be sure that you're going to be ill, because it's really not considered by God to be food. Then what?
Verse 36. I'm sure you have heard about the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the people of Israel, that there is a peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Verse 37. You know what happened through Judea, beginning with Galilee, after John the Baptist began preaching. Verse 38. And no doubt you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Verse 39. And we apostles are witnesses of all he did throughout Israel and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by crucifying him. Verse 40. But God raised him to life 3 days later. Then God allowed him to appear. Verse 41. Not to the general public, but to us, whom God had chosen beforehand to be his witnesses. We were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Verse 42. He ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is ordained of God to be the judge of all, the living and the dead. Verse 43. He is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. Unquote. The Gentiles begin receiving the Holy Spirit.
Verse, see, now this is the hear it again. It's not food, it's the Gentiles begin receiving the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Verse 44. Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who had heard the message. Verse 45. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles as well. Verse 46. And there could be no doubting it, for they heard them speaking in other tongues, and they were praising God. Then Peter asked, verse 47, quote, can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did?
See, not only did the Gentiles get saved, but now Peter's saying that they should be able to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. All right, then what?
Verse 48. So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Afterward, Cornelius asked them to stay with him for several days.
All right, praise the Lord. So they needed to be baptized in water and then baptized with the Holy Spirit. Okay, that was chapter 10. All the 48 verses with commentary. Now, the translation and now commentary.
10 verse 9 through 20. God sent a special vision to Peter to reveal to him some of his hidden prejudices, which are understandable. Peter saw a large sheet covered with animals that, according to Jewish law, were unclean. At first, Peter refused to have anything to do with them, but God sent the vision 3 times, challenging Peter's view of what was clean or unclean. This had to do with Gentiles. Really, it had nothing to do with food. God was preparing Peter to carry the gospel, the good news, to the, quote, unclean, unquote, Gentiles, and one of them was the home of Cornelius. Peter needed to realize that God accepts people of all backgrounds now, as he promised Abraham that he would be the father of all the nations of the world. This truth is very important to us to receive as well. As we share the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ with others, we must not let our prejudices stand in the way of God's will. If God opens a door to share the gospel with someone, we need to step through it in faith.
Right, there's churches all over the country that says, you know, like black people should go to black churches. Yellow people should go to yellow churches. There's one of those churches in Falk, Arkansas, and in Dyer, Arkansas. They say, now blackbirds go with blackbirds, canaries go with canaries, and geese go with geese. Yeah, but we're not blackbirds, and we're not geese, and we're not canaries. We're human beings, and the Lord died for us all. And he said that we all every person, every nationality has the same blood going through their veins. So black people shouldn't call themselves blood, or nor should anyone be clicking off like that. The gospel is for everyone, because God's creation, because everyone is God's creation, and he died, and Jesus died for all. Now, a lot of Muslims think that Jesus is the God of the white folks. Well, the Bible said he's the God of the Jews, but now you can see here that he's the God of all folks. Amen?
Amen.
Every nationality. So don't say that anymore. Don't say that he's just the God of the Jews only. He's the God to whosoever will come unto him and obey him and seek the Lord and serve him. Then what?
God will go with us as he did with Peter, as we spread his message of salvation, hope, and charity to the world. 10 verse 21 through 33. Peter didn't want to visit the home of this unclean Gentile, but when Peter and Cornelius met, they excitedly shared the unusual things they had just seen and heard. God had worked to remove the prejudices that would have kept them from speaking to each other. As a result, the Holy Spirit filled all the Gentiles who were in Cornelius's home. God drew people close who had once been separated by immense barriers. So everyone in this world, for sure, has relationships that seem to be broken beyond repair. Harsh conditions, emotions, and the prejudices formed during our years of bondage of the devil has made communication almost impossible from a witness of the Lord to the world. As helpless as such relationships seem to be, God is able to work to soften our defenses and enhance communication to the entire world. So he will do this if we surrender our entire selves unto him, if we entrust our life to him and seek to follow in the Spirit his entire will. Growing to the fullness of the stature does not happen overnight.
Growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ does not happen overnight. Then what?
It's a process. You have to learn the gospel line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. When Cornelius and his family came into the spotlight in Acts chapter 10, the process of their being saved and being filled with the Holy Spirit had already begun. From a Roman religious and military background, this army officer and his family, quote, feared the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, unquote. They prayed to the God of Israel and gave generously to the poor, to charity. Cornelius's family had changed many of their habitual patterns and perspectives that had come from their Roman background. At this point, God intervened and allowed them to proceed to a deeper understanding of God, which led to eternal life. God met them by sending the Apostle Peter, who came to them with the needed spiritual words, that they might have the insight into the true meaning of the Word of God. The things that happened in Cornelius' home is a model of an entire family being led to the Lord and the fullness of the stature of Christ. As Cornelius and his family came to believe in the redemptive work of Jesus, they also entered a phase of spiritual fullness and power augmented by the power of the Holy Spirit. This wasn't the end of their entire fullness of the stature of Christ process at all, but they were well on their way because they had established healthy relationships with each other and the believers of God's work upon earth at that particular time. When the family of Cornelius received the gift of the Holy Spirit, a new era of history was born. For the first time, God showed men in the world that all people were accepted by God through Jesus Christ, the Word of God.
Right. It had nothing to do with food. I want to say that again. Then what? It was all that the Gentiles are now accepted. Okay, then what?
Quote, unclean, unquote, Gentiles. Because of his cultural prejudices, Peter had a hard time accepting this truth. When Cornelius and his family received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Peter could no longer deny it. God desires to make the Holy Spirit's power a part of all of our lives. If we repent of our sins and accept God's forgiveness on the basis of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can experience God's power in our life, and we can experience the work of the Lord in our life, and others will experience the work of the Lord through our lives and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ with the Father by the Spirit in us. With God's help, with the Lord in us, there's no problem insurmountable, and there isn't anything that we need to depend on but Him. So there isn't any dependencies such as drugs, alcohol, pornography. All these dependencies, they are not too great to overcome, but they are easily overcome.
Right. And people, a lot of people depend on lying in order to make their money, or lying to get by every day. They lie just about everything that goes on. I know some people like that, that you just couldn't, they'll lie to you at the drop of a hat about anything. And so, you know, as these, I say before, as the Bible teaches us that, you know, these were just animals depicting different countries. Even India was depicted by, is still to this day, I believe, by the leopard. And another is like the lion. All these are not to eat. You're not to eat these sort of things. All right, now that was, now we go into part two of spiritual warfare.
Let's read Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Quote, "Our Father who art throughout the heavens, let thy name be sanctified. Let thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done as in heaven, so upon the earth." Unquote. Also,
that particular version of the scripture was from Darby, but it's, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's King James. All right, then what?
Also, verse 13b, quote, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." King James Version. This passage of the Lord's Word concerning prayer is of great significance in the Bible. The meaning contained therein is very much related to spiritual warfare. As the Lord teaches us how to pray, He begins with three lets. Quote, "Let thy name be sanctified. Let thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done, as in heaven, so upon the earth." Unquote. These three lets set forth the central meaning of what the Lord wants us to pray. Then at the conclusion He says, quote, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory." Unquote. Again, three factors are revealed here. The three lets at the beginning and the three factors at the conclusion show us the goal of spiritual warfare. Quote, "Let thy name be sanctified" means also, "Let thy name be separated unto holiness and separated from all others who claim to have holiness."
Or who claim to have a hold on this world. Like when the astronauts went to the moon, they put the American flag right in the moon. Well, everything on this earth must be stamped with, in order for God's name to be hallowed, to show that this earth belongs to the Lord, not Satan. And so we as Christians are to make sure that His name is hallowed, that it is separated from all other names, and that we all agree that this earth belongs to Him and not Satan. Then what? That's hallowing the Lord's name. Then what?
The Bible shows us that the name of God is a great matter. After the fall of mankind at the time of Enosh, grandson of Adam, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. God desires that only His name be upon earth, and that men call only upon His name. But when men built the Tower of Babel, rebelling together against God, they put the name of God aside and propagated their own name. Genesis chapter 11, 4. God's will is that His name be sanctified on earth and become the only name worthy of all honor. However, Satan united rebellious mankind to put aside the name of God and replace it with many other names.
That's exactly what they're doing today. They say, don't mention God's name. Well, the only one that would say something like that is Satan, the devil. And so, you know, we have to come against that, and we have to mention God's name and establish it even all the more. The more you hear Satan opening his mouth like that, the more you know that he hates the name of God, and he is like denying that this world, this earth, belongs to the Lord. And so we must intensify our preaching of the gospel, our teaching, our edifying the church, our praying for the church, and for souls to be saved, and are witnessing and testifying to others, to the unsaved, all the more, because this is how, this is spiritual warfare, doing all these things. Then go ahead.
Thus the name of God was made common and ordinary. Hence the name of God is not being sanctified nor hallowed by men on earth today, an evil consequence of Satan's reigning. So we know that name and authority are related. A name in great measure represents authority. A man's name goes wherever his authority goes. The fact that a man's name is in a certain place proves that his authority is there also. Generally speaking, the name appearing on a certain object identifies the object as belonging to the person of that name. If the name of God is on the earth, that means the earth recognizes God's ownership over it.
That's why Satan is rebelling against so much of the word getting out, because we who preach the gospel say the earth is the Lord's. So Satan is saying, no, don't mention that name, because he hates the name of God. He hates the name of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus, the name of Jesus, is the Word of God. Satan, this world, hates God. God is the Word, and he hates Jesus, who Jesus is the Word of God. And so the Word of God must be established in this earth, so that, and when it is, then the will of God will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then what?
If the name of God is rejected or removed on earth, as they are attempting to do today, that means the earth denies God the ownership over it.
Since God's ownership over it. Okay, then what?
Since the earth is created by God, it must have the name of God upon it and recognize God's ownership. But Satan took possession of man by causing man to sin, to rebel against God. Hence, God's name was forsaken and no longer hallowed.
So make sure that you tune in tomorrow to hear chapter 11 of the book of Acts, and also part 3 of spiritual warfare. Until then, be establishing the name of the Lord throughout the world, wherever you are, in the name of Jesus. And so God can bless you and eternally, and bless you here on earth. Until tomorrow, chapter 11 of Acts, part 3 of spiritual warfare. This is Pastor Tony Alamo saying, praise God, give glory to God, hallelujah, and amen.